morning, everyone. I'm Roland. I am one of the members here at church. I don't know if I've done that yet. There we go. Let's pray first. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you bless us, that you sent us your Son, Lord, as we celebrate this time, that we focus on Jesus entirely, Lord, and that we will hear this message this morning, Lord, and I pray that it reaches everyone, Lord, but that people will walk away with it. And again, we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Scott asked me back in September, I believe, to speak. He asked me if I had any feelings around Christmas. And Christmas for me had been, for most of my life, had been a real struggle. So I wanted to, I think he wanted me to share a little bit of that struggle so maybe you guys could, if anybody relates to that or if anybody knows anybody who relates to Christmas time can be a real hard time, I think, for a lot of people. So. And last week when I was listening to Scott speaking, I was like, I had no idea, you know, what am I going to speak about? What's the message going to be titled? And I was just thinking about how he was talking about Jesus being with us, right? And he was talking about the incarnate Lord, right? And I was just thinking about Christmas presents, that we need Jesus with us, right? That as Christians, we need to be walking with Jesus all the time, and we need to have him with us. And I that flip around Christmas presents and Christmas presents. It's not really, there's a play on words here, but I think we realize how important his presence is. So some of the things Scott talked about last week with the incarnation. He said, the incarnation of Jesus reveals his glory. The incarnation of Jesus demonstrates his incomparable, I'm having trouble here too, which is great because we're going to talk about how Christmas isn't always perfect, so sometimes we're not perfect here. The incarnation of Jesus demonstrates his incomparable supremacy and his accessibility simultaneously. So that accessibility to Jesus. God gave us his Son, sent him on earth, Christmas morning, Christmas Day, we celebrate that. I think that's important to remember that that's the gift, right? The gift is really his Holy Spirit. We're going to talk a little bit about his indwelling grace, the grace that he gives us daily, not just on Christmas morning. I'm doing two things simultaneously, so I'll get better at this. How many people hate Christmas or have hated Christmas in the past or have moments of time? So Chris agrees with me, a few people. I think sometimes our image of Christmas, especially as Americans and all that kind of thing, that consumerism tends to get us to the point where we're like, I just wish Christmas would be over, right? Because it's the shopping, the everything has to be perfect, the meals, all that kind of stuff. We can tend to get to that place where we hate Christmas. My PowerPoint thing just keeps like flipping on some things, so excuse me while I'm doing that. A lot of us want it to be over, right? And we can't wait till January, I don't know. And it's the deepest, darkest, depressing time of the year in January because there's no holidays, there's nothing. But we're like, let's get Christmas over with. Especially when the expectations are high, right? We want it to be perfect. We have these images of how things are supposed to be, right? A lot of pressure. So we have a hard time finding Christmas spirit, right? How many people have been without the Christmas spirit at times? How many people are without the Christmas spirit now, having a hard time finding it? It's really hard sometimes, right? I want to show you. So I promised a few people that we were going to have a little bit of fun today. I wasn't going to talk about depressing things all morning. We're going to have some cartoons. We're going to have some Saturday Night Live skits. So first one there, we're going to watch this.
I hate Christmas.
What did you say?
I hate Christmas.
Davy.
I can't feel Christmas this year. I got no Christmas spirit.
How many people remember Davy and Goliath? Yeah. Probably saved my life, most of my life. I growing up in the family that I grew up in, I loved watching Davy and Goliath. I got the message. I don't remember why the message was so important to me at the time, but I do know today why it was so important to me at times. It spoke to me. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what life was like sometimes living at my house at Christmas time. And so I think sometimes this message was important to me. We're going to get back to Davy and Goliath later, but it's important. I was really grateful that I heard that message. It's simple, but it's going to be the message of Christmas. If you've seen this episode, this was what I remembered when I was thinking about how I hated Christmas and what was going on. So that's a little foreshadowing on Davy. We're going to get back to Davy and Goliath. I love the talking dog. I think we spend a lot of time. I grew up with these plates and these cups in my house, these Currier and Ives scenes, and I hated it because it did not look anything like what I knew Christmas was, right? And I think we have that image of why, how are things supposed to be? You know, this peaceful stuff, this snow stuff, this, you know, everything, and, you know, white snow, and you know, I always had the dirty and the yellow snow, and it just didn't match. My image of Christmas never matched. And I hated these scenes, right? I wanted to throw these against the wall because it didn't match my reality. And the other scene that I hated was always this Norman Rockwell stuff. I don't know about you guys, but that was not my reality either. This was not our Christmas dinner. A lot of smiles there that we didn't have at my family dinner. A lot of times it was eat as fast as you can and get out of there because we were always worried about things flying potentially, those kind of things. I hated Norman Rockwell. I don't know why. Beautiful paintings, beautiful scenes, but it was never what I grew up with, right? It was never my reality. So I want to show you a little bit about what my reality looked like.
Okay. It's that time of year when families gather together to reopen old feelings. And Silver Bell Records is proud to present A Dysfunctional Family Christmas. This is the album your family is sure to cherish for Christmases to come.
Christmas time, you force a smile. Everyone is joining in the group denial. Folks behaving infantile. Family Christmas time.
Hit after dysfunctional hit. Songs like The Almost Perfect Christmas.
Dinner is perfect, the presents are perfect, the tree in the parlor is the perfect one.
Then your brother yells at your mother, Christmas is ruined for everyone.
Get timeless favorites like Someday I'll Get Christmas Right, I've Got My Drinking Under Control for the Holidays, Peace on Earth Where, and The Daughter's Saw.
Presents and wrapping paper, ribbons and bows and all that stuff. Why do we even bother? Nothing we give you is good enough.
And this country Christmas classic.
Every Christmas when you got drunk, I told the children you were not drunk. And I said, Tommy, you're not being bad. It's just that Christmas makes your mommy mad.
You'll get Can't You Let It Drop, It's Christmas. What I Want, You Can't Buy Me. Fruitcake and Shame. And Why Am I the Only One Who Knows What Christmas Really Means? And many more.
Underneath the mistletoe, it's a 2x2 jingle bell world. And underneath all those extra pounds is a very pretty girl.
Just imagine 24 timeless standards, including the classic Carol of Intimacy.
Leave me alone, please go away, I'm doing fine, just get away. Leave me alone, please go away, I'm doing fine, just get away. Leave me alone, please go away, I'm doing fine, just get away.
To order, call 1-800-GET-HELP today. Operators are standing by.
1995, you can have that also. Yeah, it's funny, but it's not funny. How many people can relate to some of that at least, right? I mean, I'm laughing, but inside, I mean, it makes me cringe at times because those were some of my realities, and I didn't like it when I was going through it. So I think, you know, think about that a little bit as you're moving forward. Hits a bit close to home sometimes, a little bit more. And I spent a lot of time living like in fear that people would find out what my reality was like, so I didn't talk about it. And I kept it private, and that didn't serve me very well at all. And I know it's hard to talk about those things. I do want to point out the counselor in me says, reach out to somebody and ask, you know, talk to people if some of this is your reality. Let's see. This one, you guys are going to love this one. So This is this beautiful child. This is me growing up when I was a baby. And this child, this poor child had no idea what life was going to be like at that point. I think things, you know, we don't know, right? And I will preface all of what I'm saying by the fact that my parents did the best that they could. I don't fault them for anything. I think they dealt with a lot. I've dealt with a lot. I've been working through some of that stuff, which is the blessing. But that child had no idea. My father was an alcoholic. You guys have heard me share that, I think, before, if you've heard my message. He dealt with anxiety. He dealt with depression. For him, I think Christmas was not something he enjoyed either. He didn't have very happy Christmases, and so for him, around this time of year, he would get very depressed, very anxious, drink a lot. I remember seeing a lot of people would bring him Canadian Club, CC and whiskey. I mean, CC and ginger ale. There was not a lot of ginger ale being drank at that time. My dad would get angry. Things would blow up. And, you know, most kids, this little kid was probably like, you know, you start out in life and you're like, you know, Christmas time is like, you know, I want this. Your Christmas wish list becomes one thing. I just remember from the early times that my Christmas wish list had no, I mean, I had a couple toys on there, but that was because I had to fulfill something. But most of my Christmas wish list was I wish people would get along. I wish that things weren't so crazy in my house. I wish those kind of things. I hate that. I know there are still kids dealing with that today. I hate that fact because that's not what Christmas really is about. Again, we put that pressure on ourselves, and I think my family was dealing with that pressure, and because of that, I was feeling that pressure. And again, that's why Davy and Goliath to me meant, you know, I think a whole lot. So I think money issues, too. I was thinking back a little bit. I mean, a lot of people deal with money issues. Can't, you know, they want the perfect Christmas, and they want to get all the gifts that they can get for their kids. I would have been happy with anything, to tell you the truth, in reality. I'm grateful for that today. Back then, it wasn't something that I was grateful for. But I just, one Christmas that stands out was that, so we had Christmas. I don't even remember what toys we got, but I do remember, like, 2 days later, Santa came again, and looking back, I realized that was probably because my father didn't have a lot of money, and then all of a sudden, money came in and bought more toys, which, you know, I'm grateful he did that kind of thing, but it was, there was a lot of stress, a lot of arguing, there were apparently, you know, every once in a while, there'd be some violence. Norman Rockwell scene, we would disappear into our rooms. I spent a lot of time in my room, I spent a lot of time reading. I spent a lot of time, I would have been on phones and that kind of stuff if I would have been, you know, a teenager today, but, so yeah, those were kind of some of the things, and I'm grateful again for those. I was also taught some values and some morals and learning those things. The Lutheran Church, I think, put out the Davy and Goliath thing, and for me, that was a blessing, because I also, for as much as my parents, you know, were trying to teach me as much morals as I can, as much as I was in church, you know, there was a lot of other stuff that was going on that was not, you know, to me, church-related. And so, you know, relating this to what is our, you know, what is our emphasis on Christmas? What should it be? And I really think part of me was that I just wanted to connect with people, right? I wanted people to love me. I wanted people to care for me. And that was what I wanted for Christmas. And the Bible tells us that, right? That's what the Bible tells us. And so I want to go through a few things that the Bible tells us about Christmas before we get back to Davy. We went over this already. I was going to put in another cartoon because you guys love the cartoon so much, I can already tell. I was going to put in, how many people know who I was going to put in for this cartoon? Linus, Charlie Brown, right? It's a Charlie Brown Christmas. And Charlie Brown wants to know, what is the true meaning of Christmas? Linus tells him point blank. For me, this was a mic drop moment, right? He gets up there and he basically goes through Luke 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And again, this to me is what's the gift of Christmas, right? The gift of Christmas. What is our Christmas present? The Christmas presence is God with us. It is that we have this thing that is always, it's for me, it's the indwelling, right? It's that gift of Jesus with us at all times and being able to go to Jesus and go to God and bring what we need to him. And again, that mic drop moment. And a couple of things I think, you know, the true gift of Christmas, peace to those on whom his favor rests, a Savior has been born to you. We have a Savior. We have somebody who is on our side completely. So that is the big gift of Christmas. There are some other little gifts, I think, that I found as I was going through. So refreshment, right? We don't always feel the Christmas joy. We don't always feel the Christmas spirit. But we are promised that we will have refreshment if we seek it. And so to me, I'm lost, sorry. Oh, it's because Scott changed my slides last night, which was fine. But he had to make them bigger because I made them too small. Just like those old Christmases. No, I'm just... if you follow Jesus, that's where you get your refreshment, right? So these verses, Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And so not only do we get the gift of refreshment, but we also have a chore to do in that sometimes, right? It's not all about we get these gifts. We have something that we need to do in order to continue to get these gifts, right? And that's refreshing other people and giving what we have to other people. I'm sure I had some great note on here that I was supposed to add, but... Okay, so, and as refreshing people, the important thing to remember there is one of the other gifts they give us, that God gives us, is the ability to give gifts, right? I think not only do we receive gifts, and to me, the greatest blessing is to be able to give gifts, to be able to see the joy on somebody's face. I did the craft fair yesterday, and I love making stuffed animals, and I love making them because for me, it's good to do. It keeps my mind occupied and away from thinking the things I really shouldn't think about. But the other thing I love to do is to give them to see a kid walk off with, you know, a stuffed animal with a smile on their face. And to me, it's the gift of that gift giving for me. And so Matthew 2:10-11 says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they brought gifts to Jesus, right? This was their Savior, but they still brought gifts to him because, you know, of the gratitude that we have. That's why we bless others, right? Is because we are grateful for the gifts that God gives us, and so we bless others and show that back. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. We should be devoted to one another. That's part of the gift giving. That's reaching out as Christians. Matthew 6:2. So when you give to the needy, this is the one where they are warning. God is warning us against how we give gifts. We shouldn't do them as hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. But truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And so we just do it out of the goodness of our heart. We don't do it because we want people to say, oh, look how great you are, that kind of thing. It's really about we're doing it to give back to Jesus, you know, the audience of one. And so, again, this is the gift to me of one of the gifts of that God gives us. The next gift, I think, is atonement for sins. Just atonement for sins, right? God came. Why was Jesus born? Jesus was born so we could come and our sins would be forgiven, right? This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so, I mean, what greater gift can we get than to anything that we do gets taken away, right, at the cross. We lay it at the foot of the cross, and it is no longer our sin. Jesus took that for us. I can't say anything more about that. God loves us. He sent his only son. And this is kind of what I was getting to with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Again, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. it lives with us. Jesus lives with us on a daily basis. We just need to turn to him. Thinking about prior to that, people had to go and talk to a priest and go behind the curtain, and you had to jump through some hoops. Today, I can just sit here and pray. You know, I can sit in the front row here and pray, and all of that is my audience with God, and what a huge gift. And then Timothy 1:14 said, "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." And again, that's the gift, right? The gift of Christmas is that our Savior was born, and that was given to us, and we need to guard that. We need to take care of it on a regular basis. I think there's one more. I got to go back. All right, so we're back to Davy. In the video, and you guys can find this on YouTube, but Davy tries all those things that we all do to get the Christmas spirit, right? He buys a Christmas tree. That didn't work. He tries putting lights up on his house, and that didn't work. He tried buying presents for others. For him, that didn't work. Christmas cookies. He baked Christmas cookies. That didn't work. He still was kind of like, whatever. It's just he couldn't feel the Christmas spirit. He prays for snow. Still could not find the Christmas spirit. All those things that we look for that we think are going to fill us up that are not going to fill us up, right? In the end, he decides to put on a Christmas pageant. Our children are doing a Christmas pageant next week, right? And so it's like, what better way to get in the Christmas spirit? But even that doesn't work. What ends up happening is he makes a new friend. This boy sells Christmas trees, and the boy wants to be part of this pageant, but he has to work like Christmas Eve. And so Davy decides that he's going to take this boy Kenny's job and sell the Christmas trees for him, and he's going to give Kenny his role in the Christmas pageant. So Davy was not thinking about himself, right? He was putting himself, giving up for somebody else. And what do you think happened? Do you think you got the Christmas spirit? A little bit of the Christmas spirit. So so here we go. We're going to see.
I understand now. I found the real Christmas. It's here. Here's the King. God loves us, so he gave us what he loved best. Like I love Kenny and gave him what I love best.
Another mic drop moment, right? I mean, that's the whole idea to me of Christmas is, it's about Jesus. It's about giving back to people. It's about sharing his love with others, right? We were given a Savior. That is a gift we are not supposed to hold on to. We're supposed to pass it on to others. I want to end with a C.S. Lewis quote because I love C.S. Lewis and again, the kid stuff runs through me, I think, with the, that stuff. But this is from Mere Christianity, which I was thinking about this morning as I was reviewing some of this stuff. Mere Christianity, I always love that. It's only Christianity, right? But he's quoted as saying, as they say in England, "Happy Christmas. Look for Christ and you will find him, and with him, everything else." And so finding Christ, we get way more than we, could bargain for, right, with Jesus. So my thing to you, and I want to end with You know, we talk about Christmas presents, and I think I shared this on the prayer and praise page, but for me this Christmas, it was kind of neat. I shared about, this is the Bible that laid on the top shelf of my family bookshelf, and we weren't allowed to read it. It sat on the top shelf and collected dust. There's still dust on it from like 1950-something, so. And so one day when I was a kid, I decided I would get up there and pull it down and read it. Boy, did I get in trouble for that. That was not what you did at Christmas time. I mean, at any time. We weren't supposed to read the Bible. I don't know why. It was one of those things, but I get in trouble for reading the Bible. I got that a couple weeks ago. My mother passed away in February, and my sister was cleaning out the house, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want anything else but that Bible. She had already, unbeknownst to me, brought it down to her house in Connecticut. She did bring it back, which was kind of cool that she did that. That's another blessing. I've never had a really good relationship with my sister or my siblings that for that matter. And that was a gift, right? So, but the gift is I got that. But attached to that was the same morning that I got that, my daughter came and sat next to me on the couch with her Bible. One of her, like, she's got like 10 Bibles, I think, different things. She was reading Matthew 1, you know, whatever. I can't remember what it was, but it was the Christmas story. And she sat down next to me in her NIV and was reading the Christmas story to me. She's 8. She was reading, and she only needed help with a couple words, which again is a huge blessing because she's struggled with reading for a long time, and she is just, you know, improved. But to have my daughter at 8 years old reading from her Bible to me is the hugest blessing that I could think of because, again, I couldn't read the Bible. Where do we find Jesus? We find Jesus in the Bible. I believe growing up in that family that I was telling you about, I had God. I don't know if I had Jesus, and there's a difference. And if you know that difference, then it's a huge difference. And so to me, getting that Bible and having my daughter reading to me from a Bible was a huge gift. And that's all I really need for Christmas, right? I mean, that's one of those things. So with that, I am going to ask, I believe there's another song that the worship team will come up, and we will pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you this morning for this message. I do pray that all those life things will melt away, that people can really just enjoy the blessing of your Son, that people will know that a Savior was born that Christmas morning many, many years ago, and that he still lives with us today, that he is accessible to us, and that we can reach him and talk to him anytime, Lord. And I just pray for those who struggle at Christmas, and pray that we can be a light for them and shine in that way to them. In Jesus' name.
Joy. Joy in the midst of all that? How? How's that even possible? I know in my family, my dad was battled alcoholism all his life. Similar. My sisters have those memories, and they would get depressed about Christmas because Christmas was always a disappointment in one way or another, with dad's drinking, with the way things happened, and all of that. And so you ask that question that Roland brought up so well is, how do you have that joy? And when he pointed out about serving others, refreshing others, man, there's so many people that I talk to, they say, I'm alone on Christmas. And I say, well, don't be. Don't be. Refresh others, because there are others who are alone on Christmas. So you do a Christmas and be like, I'm inviting 4 people who are alone. Chris and Victoria here on Sunday, Christmas Sunday, because families will be doing all their stuff and it'll be crazy. But they're going to do something special here. So if you're alone on Christmas, don't be. Come from 10 to 12. They've got some Christmas festivities. It's not going to be the normal service or any of that, but you don't have to be alone. And I love that about refreshing others. Because yesterday, we did our craft fair, And one of the coolest things of that is we as a church get to welcome, we welcomed just over 400 people into our church. And so when they came in, they saw a smile from whoever was working the bake sale. With all you guys who bake stuff, our bake sale for $300 toward the mission trip. And then so the other things that all happened as we're welcoming people and we're smiling at them, we're helping them carry boxes and stuff, it was like contagious joy. And you know what that did for us? Refreshed us. I don't think any of us made any money. But it didn't matter because we were like, this was an awesome day of connecting and refreshing. And that's the gift that we give. So all total, the craft fair brought in $1,910 for the Guatemala mission thing. So that's awesome, right? Awesome. That's going to bring joy to those kids in Guatemala. We were waiting this week. I was waiting with the mayor, Greg. That's what I call him now. We were waiting. He and Dana and I were waiting, and somebody was inspecting fire extinguishers, and we were waiting for mattresses. How many mattresses? 28. They went to the wrong place. So, but we had a good time gathering, but I was thinking, joy, this morning as you're talking, Roland, I'm like, people are going to come in who are sleeping on the floor or don't have a mattress, and they're going to experience joy in receiving that. And why are we doing that? Just because Jesus said, serve the poor, serve the least of these, serve. And when we do that, man, it feels good. It refreshes us to refresh others. So I just wanted to just kind of point that out as a church, that I look and I see what our church is doing in the community, and what a body of refreshers that God has given us. What a culture. On Wednesday morning from 10 to 12, we are going to be putting together our Christmas thank you baskets that we send out to community servants and public service people. And you should see when we walk into the public services barn with a big basket that has fruits and snacks and all that, and they say, what's this? And we say, well, we just love you down at First Baptist Church, and we want to thank you for all you do. Man, joy refreshes. So if you're available on Wednesday morning and you want to come help us build fruit baskets and gift baskets, come on over and work with us from 10 to 12. Reg and Deb will be pulling in with all of that stuff to unload and everything. It's just another opportunity to refresh others and experience the joy of the Lord.